We're back in Windmore, at least virtually. Earlier in the podcast, we spoke with retired ARS researcher Eleanor Brown about the wool research conducted here at the Eastern Regional Research Center. This is where researchers developed wool clothing products that didn't yellow, that were fire resistant, and that were itch-free. But Windmore is also where a lot of ARS's leather research was conducted. The U.S. meat industry produces around 32 million hides each year, and most of those hides are exported for making leather jackets, pants, purses, and other products. Before they're sold in international markets, the hides are visually inspected, weighed, and given a numeric grade based on the quality of the hide. Hides with defects caused from insect bites, abrasions, scars, and natural rough spots, they'll get a lower grade compared to hides in premium condition.
One of the interesting things about leather is that it's probably the first manufacturing process that was ever developed. And it continued to develop over centuries in an empirical fashion. Up to the present day, the main way for deciding what the quality of a hide was and what the quality of the leather you would get from that hide was by looking at it.
The problem with evaluating hides is the defects often appear on the skin below the hairs, which aren't removed until later in the leather-making process. So it's often a guessing game as to trying to determine the quality of the hide. And Brown noted that while one person would rate as high quality, another would rate as low quality. There was no uniform rating system.
Everybody's got a different idea of what they would like. Usually they took the fat off the bottom before they did the inspection, but they didn't take the hair off. So if you have hair on it, you can't see insect bites, you can't see scratches or any of those things.
ARS research materials engineer Dr. Chen Kung Liu and his team created an automated, objective method for detecting imperfections on a hide, a method that would greatly benefit U.S. leather producers.
This would improve the ability to grade the hides and decide which hides were appropriate for which application. And since most of the hides are exported, it would also affect the price significantly. So that's where this started.
The technique involved examining the hide without removing the cattle hair using airborne ultrasonics. Airborne ultrasonics is often used in the lumber industry to detect which materials had internal defects, such as internal decaying or internal rot. It's also used to grade the lumber before it goes to the mills.
The idea was that if it worked for something like that, which was looking at large pieces of material and being able to see things which you couldn't see otherwise, that it was worth trying with the leather. And they actually were able to do large pieces of hide. A hide is pretty big, maybe 6 by 4 feet. They're big. And running a scan above and below a piece of leather on both sides of it, they were able to pick up places where there were hot spots and they could pick out spots which had problems.
The technique involved pulsing ultrasound or ultrasonic beams at the leather and then measuring the reflected and transmitted portions of the beam. By looking at the differences between the measurements, they could pick out which hide pieces had the most and least imperfections, which could affect their grade quality. Of course, pulsing ultrasonic beams at a soft cattle hide might be expected to damage the hide, especially at levels used to test timber. ARS researchers tested different pulsing rates and frequency until they found a test condition that provided accurate results as to the quality of the hide.
What was determined was if you used a low resonance pulse, you got better results on the hide because it's a softer material than the wood. So it's a matter of tuning it to get the appropriate balance.
The beauty of this technology is it could be done early in the leather manufacturing process, which can be time-consuming and costly. The leather industry could now determine the quality of their hides before spending time and effort turning the raw materials into fine leather for purses, wallets, or jackets, or other leather products such as car seats, couches, and handbags.
And problems can show up even later in the processing. It may not be at the first stage. So the more information you have going in, the better off you're going to be eventually.
Let's get back to the technology itself. When I think of ultrasound, I think of an imaging system used to monitor the growth and development of a fetus. But did you know that ultrasound is also used for cleaning various materials, like electronics, cables, and wires? For cleaning purposes, it uses high-frequency, high-intensity sound waves submerged in a liquid to help remove foreign contaminants from surfaces.
And it's nice because you're not applying any chemicals, you're not applying any other hazards or anything to it. Sounds like it's kind of almost a natural process.
Right. It's often done in solution, but it's a non-destructive way to do the testing.
Lou's quality testing method drew interest from the leather industry, but that wasn't the only accomplishment in this area. As I mentioned before, turning hides into leather could be a lengthy and expensive process, typically involving many stages, such as dehairing, tanning, and finishing. Even today, different parts of these stages require manual labor.
The work I did was on trying to understand the mechanisms for converting the hide into leather, and collagen being the primary component, studying how collagen reacted to various tanning processes because there were pushes from different parts of the market to develop leathers which did not use chromium. The primary tanning agent for the past 125, 30 years has been chromium, but it's chrome 3. It's not toxic.
There are basically three ways for tanning leather. Centuries ago, manufacturers used extracts from tree bark or leaves of trees in the tanning process. Back in the 1960s, use of organic tannages became popular, which are primarily based on aldehydes. Today, leather manufacturers often use chromium 3 as the primary tanning agent because it's cost-friendly and effective.
There was always a concern that some of it could become oxidized and become chrome 6, which is toxic and which is a problem in the environment generally.
Leather manufacturers were concerned that during the waste treatment process, chrome 3 could potentially become oxidized and turn into chrome 6. Chromium is a natural element that is present in the environment, like in rocks, animals, plants, soil, and gases. According to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, chrome 3 is an essential trace element in humans, but chronic exposure may be harmful. Chrome 6 poses an occupational safety and health concern because of its extreme toxicity and designation as a human carcinogen. Researchers found that chrome 3 was not oxidized during the tanning process. Brown noted that modern tanneries have built-in controls that prevent the oxidation of chromium in the waste stream, further protecting their workers and the environment. If you want to hear more about our research on leather processing, make sure to check out our upcoming podcast on sports and science. In that episode, we dive into how researchers develop new, environmentally friendly ways to turn cattle hides into leather while ensuring better quality products such as baseball and boxing gloves, athletic shoes, and footballs. Stay tuned.